No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome, everyone, to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill. Today is the 21st day of November. Welcome, everyone. Have you made your call? Are you going to call in and share your global campfire story? Oh, I cannot wait. I cannot wait to hear the voices of the community. What a gift that will be for Brian and I. Don't wait. Make the call. Because you'll put it off and then you'll forget if you're anything like me. And then you'll be really sad if you weren't a part of something that you really wanted to be a part of and do. So don't put off tomorrow what you can do today. Let's read the word today. Today we're reading Acts chapters 13 and 14, just a couple days left, in the New Living Translation. Acts chapter 13. Among the prophets and teachers of the church at Antioch of Syria were Barnabas, Simeon, called the Black Man, Lucius from Cyrene, Manaen, the childhood companion of King Herod Antipas, and Saul. One day, as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them." So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. So Barnabas and Saul were sent out by the Holy Spirit. They went down to the seaport of Seleucia and then sailed for the island of Cyprus. There, in the town of Salamis, they went to the Jewish synagogues and preached the word of God. John Mark went with them as their assistant. Afterward, they traveled from town to town across the entire island until finally they reached Paphos, where they met a Jewish sorcerer, a false prophet named Bar-Jesus. He had attached himself to the governor, Sergius Paulus, who was an intelligent man. The governor invited Barnabas and Saul to visit him, for he wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, as his name means in Greek, interfered and urged the governor to pay no attention to what Barnabas and Saul said. He was trying to keep the governor from believing. Saul, also known as Paul, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he looked the sorcerer in the eye. Then he said, "You son of the devil, full of every sort of deceit and fraud, and enemy of all that is good, will you never stop perverting the true ways of the Lord? Watch now, for the Lord has laid his hand of punishment upon you, and you will be struck blind. You will not see the sunlight for some time." Instantly, mist and darkness came over the man's eyes, and he began groping around, begging for someone to take his hand and lead him. When the governor saw what had happened, he became a believer, for he was astonished at the teaching about the Lord. Paul and his companions then left Paphos by ship for Pamphylia, landing at the port town of Perga. There John Mark left them and returned to Jerusalem. But Paul and Barnabas traveled inland to Antioch of Pisidia. On the Sabbath they went to the synagogue for the services. After the usual readings from the books of Moses and the prophets, those in charge of the service sent them this message: "Brothers, if you have any word of encouragement for the people, come and give it." So Paul stood, lifted his hand to quiet them, and started speaking. "Men of Israel," he said, "and you God-fearing Gentiles, listen to me. The God of this nation of Israel chose our ancestors and made them multiply and grow strong during their stay in Egypt. Then with a powerful arm, he led them out of their slavery. He put up with them through 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Then he destroyed seven nations in Canaan and gave their land to Israel as an inheritance. All this took about 450 years. After that, God gave them judges to rule until the time of Samuel the prophet. Then the people begged for a king, and God gave them Saul, son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin who reigned for 40 years. But God removed Saul and replaced him with David, a man about whom God said, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. And it is one of King David's descendants, Jesus, who is God's promised Savior of Israel. Before he came, John the Baptist preached that all the people of Israel needed to repent of their sins and turn to God and be baptized. As John was finishing his ministry, he asked, Do you think I am the Messiah? No, I am not. But he is coming soon, and I'm not even worthy to be his slave and untie the sandals on his feet. Brothers, you sons of Abraham, and also you God-fearing Gentiles, this message of salvation has been sent to us. The people in Jerusalem and their leaders did not recognize Jesus as the one the prophets had spoken about. Instead, they condemned him, and in doing this, they fulfilled the prophets' words that are read every Sabbath. They found no legal reason to execute him, but they asked Pilate to have him killed anyway. When they had done all that the prophecies said about him, they took him down from the cross and placed him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and over a period of many days, he appeared to those who had gone with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. They are now his witnesses to the people of Israel. And now we are here to bring you this good news. The promise was made to our ancestors, and God has now fulfilled it for us, their descendants, by raising Jesus. This is what the second Psalm says about Jesus. You are my son. Today I have become your father. For God has promised to raise him from the dead, not leaving him to rot in the grave. He said, I will give you the sacred blessings I promised to David. Another psalm explains it more fully. You will not allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. This is not a reference to David. For after David had done the will of God in his own generation, he died and was buried with his ancestors, and his body decayed. No, it was a reference to someone else, someone whom God raised and whose body did not decay. Brothers, listen. We are here to proclaim that through this man Jesus there is forgiveness for your sins. Everyone who believes in him is made right in God's sight, something the law of Moses could never do. Be careful. Don't let the prophets' words apply to you. For they said, Look, you mockers, be amazed and die. For I am doing something in your own day, something you wouldn't believe even if someone told you about it. As Paul and Barnabas left the synagogue that day, the people begged them to speak about these things again the next week. Many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, and the two men urged them to continue to rely on the grace of God. The following week, almost the entire city turned out to hear them preach the word of the Lord. But when some of the Jews saw the crowds, they were jealous. So they slandered Paul and argued against whatever he said. Then Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and declared, It was necessary that we first preach the word of God to you Jews, but since you have rejected it, and judged yourselves unworthy of eternal life, we will offer it to the Gentiles. For the Lord gave us this command when he said, I have made you a light to the Gentiles, to bring salvation to the farthest corners of the earth. When the Gentiles heard this, they were very glad and thanked the Lord for his message, and all who were chosen for eternal life became believers. So the Lord's message spread throughout that region. Then the Jews stirred up the influential religious women and the leaders of the city, and they incited a mob against Paul and Barnabas and ran them out of town. So they shook the dust from their feet as a sign of rejection and went to the town of Iconium, and the believers were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. The same thing happened in Iconium. Paul and Barnabas went to the Jewish synagogue and preached with such power that a great number of both Jews and Greeks became believers. Some of the Jews, however, spurned God's message and poisoned the minds of the Gentiles against Paul and Barnabas. But the apostles stayed there a long time, preaching boldly about the grace of the Lord. And the Lord proved their message was true by giving them power to do miraculous signs and wonders. But the people of the town were divided in their opinion about them. Some sided with the Jews and some with the apostles. Then a mob of Gentiles and Jews, along with their leaders, decided to attack and stone them. When the apostles learned of it, they fled to the region of Lycaonia, to the towns of Lystra and Derbe and the surrounding area, and there they preached the good news. While they were at Lystra, Paul and Barnabas came upon a man with crippled feet. He had been that way from birth, so he had never walked. He was sitting and listening as Paul preached. Looking straight at him, Paul realized he had faith to be healed. So Paul called to him in a loud voice, "Stand up!" And the man jumped to his feet and started walking. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in their local dialect, "These men are gods in human form." They decided that Barnabas was the Greek god Zeus and that Paul was Hermes, since he was the chief speaker. Now the temple of Zeus was located just outside the town. So the priest of the temple and the crowd brought bowls and wreaths of flowers to the town gates, and they prepared to offer sacrifices to the apostles. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard what was happening, they tore their clothing in dismay and ran out among the people shouting, "Friends, why are you doing this? We are merely human beings just like you. We have come to bring you the good news that you should turn from these worthless things and turn to the living God who made heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them. In the past, he permitted all the nations to go their own ways, but he never left them without evidence of himself and his goodness. For instance, he sends you rain and good crops and gives you food and joyful hearts." But even with these words, Paul and Barnabas could scarcely restrain the people from sacrificing to them. Then some Jews arrived from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowds to their sides. They stoned Paul and dragged him out of town, thinking he was dead. But as the believers gathered around him, he got up and went back into the town. The next day he left with Barnabas for Derbe. After preaching the good news in Derbe and making many disciples, Paul and Barnabas returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch of Pisidia, where they strengthened the believers. They encouraged them to continue in the faith, reminding them that we must suffer many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Paul and Barnabas also appointed elders in every church. With prayer and fasting, they turned the elders over to the care of the Lord, in whom they had put their trust. Then they traveled back through Pisidia to Pamphylia. They preached the word in Perga, then went down to Attalia. Finally, they returned by ship to Antioch of Syria, where their journey had begun. The believers there had entrusted them to the grace of God to do the work they had now completed. Upon arriving in Antioch, they called the church together and reported everything God had done through them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles too. And they stayed there with the believers for a long time. So as we read the story of from Saul to Paul, what happens today is he gets renamed to Paul. We are seeing a lot of language that has to do with the evidence of the Holy Spirit. It's a little bit tricky. The language of the Holy Spirit was introduced officially through Jesus before he left, telling his disciples that he is leaving with them the Holy Spirit. He's not leaving them alone. He is leaving them with the Holy Spirit. And then we see this evidence of the Holy Spirit in action, so to speak, through Paul. We remember the visitation of the Holy Spirit as tongues of fire fell on the disciples in the upper room. And we talked about how that was less about this tongue, this language, and more about an understanding of different cultures hearing the gospel in their native language that they would have never been able to hear before. Also noted, we have heard this theme all through the Bible of deception, of people speaking a truth, and it's not the truth, because it's not God's truth, who is all truth. And if it's not God's truth, it's not a variation of truth, it's a lie, it's a deceit. And so we even see this played out by Paul, who is filled with the Holy Spirit, discerns this man of trickery and deceit, a sorcerer, a Jewish false prophet named Bar-Jesus, an intelligent man. But man, don't we even know that intelligence can still be deceived and deceitful? And we see this through the evidence of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is not just exclusively for people like Paul. The Holy Spirit is not exclusively for the Jewish people. It's not an exclusivity, if that's the right word. The Holy Spirit is available to all of us. It is intelligence and wisdom and knowledge and understanding, but it is not without wisdom. And boy, we can be informed people. We can have the latest and greatest in news and conspiracies and revelations, but without wisdom, without the Holy Spirit guiding us, showing us that which we would not normally be able to see, we can be doomed. We can gravitate towards all kinds of messages that feel good or seem relevant or sound good in the moment. But the gift of the Holy Spirit keeps us steady, keeps us grounded. It is grounded in all truth. God is all truth, not a variation. And to know God is to know truth. I talk about this from time to time. People that study the counterfeit dollar, they study it for 6 months without touching a counterfeit. They only study the true dollar. They have not even touched something that is fake or phony or deceitful for 6 months until a counterfeit is introduced. They are so focused on the real thing. This should be our focus. This is where we don't wander from left to right. This is where we don't fall for anything false that sounds good, that looks the part, that feels relevant. And this is so important to our faith. This is how we do not get distracted. This is how we do not fall for the false, for the evil, for the counterfeit. And it's sad. It's sad. Ha! I have strong opinions, as you may know. It is so sad to me. And it's sad because this is where I came from. This is what I came out of. It's sad that we do not know God enough that we will fall for any thing, any person that calls out someone else that is false, that is teaching a false truth, a false gospel. We don't have to point out what is false. We only have to focus on the truth. And when we do that, we will know, just as Paul, when we come face to face with something that calls itself truth, but is actually grounded in deceit. May we be people that know the truth because we know the God of all truth. Jesus, this is my prayer today. Lead us, guide us into all truth. And I pray this in the name of all truth, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Daily Audio Bible. That is home base. That is the website. That is the free app. We want to hear your stories. Tell us your global campfire story. How has the Bible transformed your life? How did you get here? What happened that you found the Daily Audio Bible, and how has God's Word transformed you? Tell us in 2 minutes or less. I know that's difficult, but it can be done, I promise. If you're calling chronological, 800-583-2164, or you can use the hotline button on the app, you can call either number and it will go to both channels. The same stories will play both places. So you only need to call one time, and please only call one time for the amount of volume of calls that will be coming in. But we do want to hear from you. It's limited time. Don't put off tomorrow what you can do today. Call us and tell us your global campfire story. If you would like to partner with us, thank you so much to each and every one of you for each and every partnership. We could not do this without you. If you're giving by mail, DAB, P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. Or again, utilizing the app, hit the give icon up at the top right-hand corner, and lastly, look for give on the website. That's it for me today. I'm Jill. We'll turn the page together tomorrow. We break from Acts and read one of my favorite chapters in the New Testament. I'm Jill. I love you all. Until tomorrow, love one another.
Hello, everyone. This is Mrs. Smith in St. Louis, also known as Rising Above My Circumstances, and I'm asking for prayer. I've been dealing with shoulder problem, and I was supposed to have surgery this week for a replacement. The date was moved up from January till Friday, the 21st of November, but after I went to pre-op, they rejected that because a month ago in October, 1st of October, I had been diagnosed with having TIAs, small strokes, as some people call them. And I'm in a lot of pain, and I can't drive. I can't really do anything unless my husband takes me or is with me. And I'm a very active person. As some of you might know, I said I work, my husband and I work with drug addicts in our church, and I haven't been able to really do anything. And I'm just asking, Lord, that you would pray for me, that the anxiety, the depression that's trying to creep in will not overtake me, and that I will continue to trust the Lord in my situation, and that he will heal the pain, because using my left hand to trying to compensate for the right that I can't hardly use is starting to have pain on that side. And that's a long story as well. But I just ask you all to pray for me, that the Lord will work this whole situation out to His glory. And I know if it's to His glory, it'll be to my benefit. And I pray for all of you, and I thank God for this channel. And you all just be careful.
Hello, this is the woman at the well from Northwest Arkansas, and I've been tempted to do this a few times. I remember Joyce Meyer teaching about how Satan tempts us with evil and the Holy Spirit tempts us with good things, and so many times we're tempted to do a good act, and then we get sidetracked or we don't do it. And I never want to resist the temptation to shout out to someone, and that is you, Mary, from North Carolina. When I hear your calm, beautiful voice, I just feel like something good is coming, and something good always comes. You have so much wisdom and a way with words, and so many of you on DAB have used those beautiful voices to help me through the past 19 years or so, 17, 18, 19. And I just want to say, Mary, I just love you, and I appreciate your wisdom. And I love what you said about God loving us through our pets. That is so true. I just feel like it's the way He hugs us sometimes. And your prayer was so beautiful. I'm praying for your animals as well. Everyone, anything that breaks our hearts, God cares about. And if He knows when a sparrow falls from the sky, you know He loves our puppies and cats and such. I love you guys. God bless you.